Kansas City through local news, topics, and conversations. It's the Tim and Tom Show. It is the Tim and Tom Show back again here, episode number 6. Got a good one for you. Every single one of them is good.
We keep getting better.
We do keep getting better. And to tell us about how great we are, we're going to have Brady Goodman on from 99.7 The Point later.
Yeah, and we get into a good conversation.
It's not all he's going to tell us about. It's how great we are.
Yeah.
Because we asked him to tone it down a bit. We were like, you know what?
They already know.
You know, everybody knows we're great, and I know how much you want to come on here and
it's
tell us
we're great. It's off-putting when everyone says that we're great, you know?
No, but we get into a great conversation about radio. So he's a radio guy, you know, for decades now.
But a different type of conversation than we had last week. This one really, new media.
Yeah, like new media.
Where we're going in the future kind of
thing. And we'll talk about him, too, and where he's been and what he does and all that. And it's really a neat interview. I liked it. Worked out well. So stay tuned for that in segment two. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we do in segment one. We do the news.
Yes.
But before we get into that, how was your week, Tom?
My week was pretty good. I went to game 6 of the ALCS, where the Kansas City Royals end up winning the series and the American League Championship from the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yep.
Man, a game filled with just exceptional plays almost every inning. You had Zobrist with the home run. Then the second inning, we got another home run. Then we got an amazing grab that I think is overshadowed for Moustakas at third when there's guys at first and second. If he doesn't make that catch, that's at least a run, maybe two.
Might be playing another game. Yeah, well, would have been playing.
Yeah, would have been playing another game. Amazing catch. Then you go more on into the game. Batista, who carried the offense, having two home runs, and the eighth inning hitting a two-run shot that literally, collectively, you would have thought that the Kansas City Royals fans just saw their favorite dog get punted in the face.
Right.
Like, everyone was just bad. Like, oh, my God.
I was watching at home just thinking, oh, come on.
Yeah. Now,
like, you gotta be kidding
full
me.
Disclosure, I'm not a huge Royals fan.
Right.
I'm more of a baseball fan.
Yes.
And I paid a good amount of money for the ticket.
Right.
So I wanted a good game.
Yeah.
So when Batista hit the home run, it wasn't the best, but I was like, all right.
Here we go.
Eighth inning, 3-3.
You knew you were watching a classic live.
Exactly.
In person.
And so that's what I got a little excited about. But it was so much fun. The atmosphere is nothing compares to what I went to as far as for a sporting event. You know, I've been to some pretty crazy events. I remember I went to the Arrowhead game when Missouri played Kansas for the Big 12 championship. It was when Missouri and Kansas was good, you know.
Right.
I went to that game. That was a electric atmosphere.
Missouri won that one. Right.
No, Kansas did.
Oh.
Pretty sure Kansas did. No, Missouri did win, but Kansas got the bigger bowl game for some reason.
Yeah.
And I remember that because then they lost to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Missouri lost to Oklahoma. Yeah.
Right.
I remember that.
Yeah, because, KU worked a deal.
Exactly. I don't know how they did it.
I don't know how they did it, but yeah.
But yeah, I went to that game at Arrowhead. You know, obviously, for people who know me personally, I've been to a lot of big fights, you know, so I've been, but this with that many people and everyone's atmosphere.
40,000.
Yeah, and the atmosphere was just like, it was almost like everyone knew we were going to win, so there was a level of excitement, but then also like, maybe not.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And so it was just so incredible. It was amazing. And then Lorenzo Cain's first to home run, you know what I mean, when he was running from first and went to home, and Batista cost the game by throwing it to the wrong guy.
Here's how, now I know because of the angle and stuff, some of this, you're going to get some of this, but to put this into perspective how fast Lorenzo Cain is, the batter got to first. Cain went from first to home in that same time frame, you know?
Well, and unfortunately for him, because I would hate to live with it, but Batista, for as good as he did with two home runs and three RBIs, made the wrong decision by throwing it to second. You, in that situation, you throw it to the cutoff guy who's out by first, and if he gets it, Lorenzo Cain, most likely, assuming that
stay
throw
third,
is good,
right.
Yeah, will stay at third. But the third base coach, knowing Batista's tendencies, told him to go home, which is incredible because you always think, like, at least I do, I've always thought, like, what do those guys really do? You know, they're kind of just hanging out. They don't really stay in their box.
Right.
They're never in their box.
They're just they're just the eyes of the guy that have to look back.
Right, exactly. Thinking, keep going. But he knows the tendencies. Amazing, amazing play.
He knew before, he knew as soon as he started to throw it, like, got him.
Yep.
Go.
Yeah, because he knows where he's going to go with the ball. And then Wade Davis he got stuck in a jam.
Yeah.
There was a guy on third.
And I was thinking, I was like, okay, can we take him out? I was like, yeah. I was just thinking, I was like, do we take him out? Do we take him out?
Right.
You don't take out Wade Davis.
Yeah, it was an amazing Wade game. Davis. So yeah, I went to game six of the AL.
Get to third just to see what it feels like. Yeah. Wade Davis.
I hugged so many strangers when the game was over. There's so many people I have never seen before. And we embraced in a great hug of sports.
That's fun.
It's amazing. Yeah.
That's good. All right.
What about you?
Well, this week was my 12th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
It was Friday night, actually. We watched the game.
There you go.
Yeah, 12th wedding anniversary. So that kind of took up the majority of what.
So you know, she's been with you for 12 years.
And we dated for 2 years before that.
14 years.
And knew each other for 3 years before that. Yeah.
Like friends for those 3 years or just acquaintances?
She dated my best friend for 3 years before that.
Gotcha.
Right.
Man, so she's known you that long.
Yeah.
And has been with you for 14 years.
Yeah.
I've been doing a podcast with you for about 2.
Yeah, you can barely stand me now.
And it takes everything I have not to hit the U-turn. No, I'm kidding.
You really got to convince yourself to come into the studio. I always wondered why sometimes you get out of the car and you just look up at the window. I'm looking out and I'm like, what's he doing? Just staring at the building.
Just, you know,
just breathing deep a lot.
Yeah, good breathing exercises.
Yeah. Yep. No, taking a swig off the flask.
I'm joking.
All right, let's get into the news, shall we?
Yes.
Yes. Maybe. There we go. Kansas City is one of 27 communities picked by the White House to be a part of the STEM Ecosystems Initiative, which seeks to expand STEM opportunities in the nation. The goal is to get students excited about science, engineering, technology, and math, or STEM.
Hey!
The program hopes that by getting students involved in these fields inside and outside the classroom, they will continue their education and get a job in the STEM field. I've heard that's been a big thing is enrollment in universities for STEM degrees is declining, and specifically, it's almost non-existent statistically with women.
Really?
Yeah, because my daughter went and did it was a engineering for kids class at K-State Olathe,
mm-hmm.
and we paid for that, and she'd go there, and she was the only girl there, and the lady teaching was super excited, because that's kind of, they're really making these pushes on programs to get more girls involved early on and get them excited about science, technology, engineering, and math, you know?
I mean, I understand, I think I would understand the engineering part of it, you know, but the science and technology, I would feel like that's right up the alley of what you would want to do as a child. I don't know, maybe.
It's odd, too, that some of these things are declining because there's a lot of money in all four of these things.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, because it seems like an attractive occupation as a kid, and especially if you're a parent. At least I'm not a parent, but if I was, I'd be like, hey, technology, it's always advancing.
Two things we've talked about tonight. We talked about baseball and science, technology. I've said some things, if I could push my kids to do anything, it's A, get a job like one of these,
mm-hmm.
science and engineering, technology, and math.
Mm-hmm.
And then regarding sports, my son is an athletic kid. I've said baseball.
Yeah.
And out of all the sports,
mm-hmm.
play baseball. You're least likely to get hurt. And you make as much, if not more, money than the other ones if you're good at it.
And you can play a longer time.
You
know what I mean?
And there's a lot more opportunity for even, not even just the big leagues. Mm-hmm. There's way more opportunities for lower things. But that's getting out the point of this.
It's science, good to see that we got picked. I wonder, you know, when we share these stories, it's always fascinating to me that we got picked.
Uh-huh.
I want to know the process of how they eliminate or pick the cities.
Because there's a lot of cities out there, and there's a huge population. There's probably cities with larger population. Well, there is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, you know?
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see how they picked it, but it's good to see that they picked us.
I like it.
And hopefully with the girls, get some girls involved. Like I said, if I was a parent, I would be, hey, technology never goes away.
Technology never goes away.
You know?
Scientists. They're always scientists. Engineering.
Mm-hmm.
They're always building stuff.
You know, the only thing I could think of maybe why it's going down is because of the stigma that comes across with how these are taught.
Sure.
Math class is never the coolest class. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're never the super enticing, like, hey, it's fun to learn about
Learn long division. You know what I'm saying?
Science and engineering. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So who knows? But it's cool to see.
We'll move on. The Kansas City Royals are headed to their second World Series in as many years after beating the Toronto Blue Jays in Game 6 of the American League Championship Series Friday night in KC to take the series 4-2. The Royals will take on the New York Mets, who swept the Chicago Cubs in the National League Championship Series. The World Series begins in Kansas City on Tuesday night at 7:07 and can be seen on Fox Sports 1.
with Joe Buck.
With Joe Buck.
A lot of Royals fans hate him. I think he's an amazing broadcaster. I think he's one of the best out there, obviously, because he calls all the big games. Fox loves him.
I don't hate him.
Yeah, I think he's great. I will give you a stat, though, since this is the news section.
A statistic.
And a lot of Royals fans are obviously listening because it's Kansas City, and I'm a Royals fan as well. Just, you know, they're not my favorite. Just
sure.
Go Royals, right?
Right.
Here's a stat for you. Royals versus 95-mile-per-hour pitches or higher in Major League Baseball rank as follows. Number one in batting average.
Mm-hmm.
Number two in slugging,
mm-hmm.
and number one against strikeouts. So they don't strike out against pitchers who throw 95
right,
or
right,
more.
Right, right.
Here's the fun part about this. The New York Mets throw the most 95-mile-per-hour pitches.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
That's a fun stat for you.
Hey, we won it already. We can just take it.
I really thought last year we were the team where it's like, man, this is kind of cool, the World Series.
Yeah.
And we went up against the San Francisco Giants, who have been there before and are somewhat of a dynasty where they're like, they expect to win.
They won like three out of what?
The five. I think I think it was three out of five.
It was like every other for a while.
Right, so they're like, they're there expecting it.
Yeah.
Madison Bumgarner is like, yeah, duh, I'm going to pitch this.
Yeah.
In the World Series. I don't care that
he's like,
Marlins man is here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where the Royals are like, Marlins man is here. That's cool. Can I get a picture with him? You know?
Yeah.
Now, this year, there's a little bit more of the, all right, we did that.
Yeah.
We didn't come out how we wanted to.
Yep.
So let's finish it this year. And they still have the nucleus of Lorenzo Cain, Eric Cosmer, Moustakas, Gordon.
Well, and they made those midseason moves.
Right.
They're like, hey.
Cueto and Zobrist.
Right.
And so that nucleus plus the new additions of seasoned veterans. Cueto and Zobrist aren't guys who have never pitched in the postseason.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be the team favorite because also the Mets are similar to the Royals where even though they have guys like David Wright and Murphy, who are very good, and Murphy's just insane right now, which he will not continue in the World Series. He'll come back down to earth. But they're still the, maybe.
The Mets.
Because if you think about it, Murphy, another stat, and I know we're getting a little sports heavy here, but Murphy set a postseason record with six consecutive games with a home run. No one's ever done that before, ever.
Yeah.
Right? That's incredible. If this is Ken Griffey Jr. or Alex Rodriguez, this is a front page of every news article that's written, right? But it's not because he's not a star. However, this is the part that Royals fans need to remember. Yeah, he has six home runs in the last six consecutive games. He only had 14 the entire season.
Right, yeah.
So he's coming back down to earth.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think Royals fans, you got it.
The one I heard that I liked, too, was Royals last won a World Series in 1985, Mets 1986.
Yep.
So here we go. Like, this is both teams are like, hey, it's been a long time.
It has.
So we'll move on. Good for the Royals. Active duty military brides and spouses can get free wedding gowns in Lenexa as Belle Vogue Bridal embarks on their fifth year of offering the gowns to military members and their spouses. Belle Vogue Bridal has given away over 400 gowns to military families during the last 5 years, even some that cost up to $3,000.
So, guys, there you go, you know?
Yeah. If you're trying to military wife.
Yeah.
Or join the military.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You want to save some money on a wedding? Right now, go to Lenexa.
I saw this news story, and we should probably get them on to talk about it, but that's a great thing to do for military families.
Of course.
I've been there. Hey, military life is you're bouncing around. It gets expensive. You don't get paid a whole lot. You get a lot of benefits, but you don't have a whole lot of cash. You know, you do get paid, don't get me wrong.
Right. But you get a lot. Yeah, exactly. Kind of what you said. You get a lot of benefits, but you can't trade those in or use that for something else.
You're getting your housing. You're getting some clothes.
Right.
You're getting, you know, some food money. But, there's still, you know what I mean? And look, you know, you get by, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But, when you're like, oh, now I got to pay for a wedding. Yeah, that's where it starts to get tight. But
yeah, and
for them,
you know, as cliche as it sounds, for them sacrificing essentially their freedom because they have to go.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you're
right.
When they say, hey, you're going to be deployed to Iran, they don't go, is there a second option? Can I go to Texas? No, you're going to where we say.
Nope, yeah.
So for them to do that, it's good to see.
Bus.
Right. It's good to see businesses say, you know what, because you're doing that for us, here's what we can do for you.
Yeah, because with that military thing is, you may not go have to risk your life in a war zone, but that's not up to you. You know what I mean? Like, it's nice that we can give back in some ways like that. And good on this. It's It is Belle Vogue Bridal, Lenexa.
Belle Vogue.
Kansas City is one of the top areas for upcoming artists, according to data collected by the American City Business Journals. The publication collected and analyzed data from the Occupational Employment Statistics Program of the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, and as of 2014, listed Kansas City as the third top area for emerging artists behind Atlanta and Washington, D.C., with the local average pay being over $75,000 annually.
We know a local artist here that's getting some recognition worldwide.
Yes.
Rob Schamberger, who we will have on in the show in the future.
Very unique artist, even.
Yes. We've had him on our other podcast. If you listen to that, Spanish Announce Table, pro wrestling themed. But he is the official artist for the WWE.
Yeah.
And he's also, if you notice, if you follow him, he's been doing a little bit more themed around the holidays. He's has some Halloween-themed art. And I think he told me, I talked to him a couple of days ago, I think he's going to be doing some Thanksgiving, you know, stuff like that, and Christmas, obviously.
The man seemed so overworked to begin with, and now he's even branching out into other themes.
Why not?
And why not?
Right.
But that's just it. Kansas City's up and coming, and we've talked about this. There's this whole just bubbling arts area and district and just theme to Kansas City.
Yeah, and it's starting to get recognized. I was watching...
It's like a renaissance.
Right, right? It really is. I was watching the NFL pregame for the Chiefs today. And
hey, how about that?
Yeah, the Chiefs won. All right, yeah, good for them.
All right.
But they interviewed Travis Kelce, and they did these like rapid-fire questions, you know.
Yep.
Like kind of like that.
Lightning round.
Right. And they said, what's the best part of Kansas City? He said, the art district is booming.
Yeah.
And for him, he's not from here.
Yeah.
For him to recognize
and
that.
You don't see that guy and think, art lover.
Right. Exactly. You know? So, yeah, it's starting to become more of the norm in the city. So that's always a good thing to see.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on. Good. Good on Kansas City. That's why we do the show. Kansas City has another professional soccer team as Sporting KC announced the Swope Park Rangers will begin play in 2016 in the United Soccer League. The USL is one of three domestic professional men's leagues recognized by U.S. Soccer and one of the largest professional soccer leagues in the world with 30 teams across the United States and Canada.
Well, look at that. Soccer. It's, you know, you're talking
it's
about.
Booming.
Well, it is booming, and I think it goes back to what you kind of alluded to where it's a safe sport, you know.
It's a safer sport, yeah.
It's a safer sport than football. It's a safer sport.
So, yeah, it's had a youth injection for a while since the NFL for a while has had concussions and major injuries.
Exactly. So now here's another alternative. And if you can't get to the highest level, here's still an opportunity for you to make money.
Well, in Sporting KC, obviously, I mean, it's not – I mean, it's kind of like how baseball has its farm program.
Of
I'm
course.
Sure they're going to utilize this somehow. But, hey.
Yeah.
Because you never know where that – out of nowhere, super athlete's going to come from. And if you got them right in your backyard, literally, you can say, hey, come over here.
Play
and
for us.
And we have the female professional team.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of soccer going on in Kansas City.
There is.
So if you like soccer.
Come here.
Come here. If you like art, if you like soccer, if you like World Series, you come to Kansas City. All right. Move on. Final one. Police officers around the metro will be rooting for the boys in blue during the World Series by wearing Royals hats for the duration of the series. The chief of the Kansas City, Kansas Police Department made the announcement on Twitter on Saturday morning, and a similar announcement was made later by the Wyandotte County Sheriff's and Lee Summit Police Departments.
See, and I think going back to what I said the first year, last year when we, or not the first year, but last year when we made the World Series, it was
first
a
year in 30 years.
Right, but it was the well, this is kind of fun.
Yeah.
And now, because the Royals are good, we can actually plan for these things, you know? Like, I bet, you know.
They've had time to think,
right.
Well, if the World Series happens. Yeah.
Right.
Last time it was, the what? The,
wait a minute. No,
no, no, the World Series?
Yeah, yeah. This isn't like, the backup, you know, like the consolation cup. Yeah.
Somebody's off the air.
Aha, not us.
Fries are done. All right. But anyway.
That kind of threw us off.
I like it. It's neat. The World Series fever, Royals fever. Everywhere you go, you can't walk somewhere without seeing blue anymore.
Well, and, you know, good for the police to kind of say, hey, we're a part of your community.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anything that you can do to say, hey, we see what's going on. We want to be a part of it.
Yeah, we like it. All right, so let's take a break. Let's talk to Brady Goodman.
Yes.
Yeah. Brady Goodman from 99.7 The Point coming on the Tim and Tom Show right after this break when we come back to the Tim and Tom Show on the Trending Topics Network. Kansas City through local news, topics, and conversations. It's the Tim and Tom Show. Yeah. Woo. Now you're the one dancing.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Starting to rub off on you.
That's right. That's what I do. For all the wrong reasons.
Unfortunately, yeah, that is true.
For all the wrong reasons. Well, this is where we like to talk to a guest of the show. And we got another good one.
That's in or about the Kansas City area.
That's true. And last week we had a radio superstar, and this week we have a radio superstar. Starting to become a theme.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're radio guys.
Well, we're trying to get what they have.
Right.
So this is really just...
We're hoping they rub off on us.
Exactly, right? We're just trying to jump on their coattails.
Well, I asked this gentleman if he had a official title that he would like to be called. So I'm just going to read this out, okay?
All right, let's
hear it. I'm going to read what he told me here. Brady Goodman, afternoons 2 to 8 p.m. on 99.7 The Point, and imaging director, freelance voiceover audio video producer, dad and degenerate gambler, big podcast fan, been podcasting off and on since the 90s, been featured by the BBC, and currently hosting a drunken mess of a DFS podcast. Does that sound about right, Brady?
If I would have known you were going to read it straight, I would have written it better.
Right. I figured as much.
This is true. That's what I wrote.
I wanted to put you out on blast. Yeah.
No, that's all good. Hey, first off, let me talk about that imaging.
Yes.
Who's doing that, and what digital audio workstation are you using?
I mix that together. I use Adobe Audition.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that was my
voice. Which Adobe Audition?
3.0 actually here at the station. Ooh. That we use. I know. I've got 6.0 at home, or 6 as they call it, but yep. Yep. See, now we're getting into the technical weeds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen. I have been using Audition 1.
Okay.
Wow.
And really? Yeah, right? And it's a bit of a mess.
Uh-huh.
You don't say.
Listen, guys, here's how old I am. I'm old enough, and Tim, you may know this better than anyone, but I was working in Manhattan, Kansas.
Yep.
The first time we had a digital audio workstation, and it was like Saw.
You're right. Yeah. Back.
I mean, that's what it was called.
Oh,
and,
okay.
I don't know if you ever saw that. And then it moved to Cool Edit Pro. Now, Kelly in L.A., who is the head imaging director for iHeartRadio, actually still uses. This is what I heard. This is all, I don't know it personally. But she still uses Cool Edit Pro.
Oh, wow. Really? So back before then, you had like a hamster and a wheel running the tapes,
dude,
right?
Trust me. Listen, I have cut tape. I have cut reel to reel. I've played records on the air. That's how old I am.
No, I came into the radio world in the digital age.
Yeah, I was digital. Yeah. Although when I went to school, the first couple classes, they had us cut all the stuff reel to reel, just so that we would have a respect for
that's
it.
That's gross.
It wasn't fun.
Well, the weird thing, though, is here's what I'll say. I feel like, and this happens a lot with voice tracking and, you know, a lot of the DAWs and a lot of the digital audio workstations, I feel like it's all based off of analog and how we used to do it in the old days. And it's a weird learning curve because unless you made that move, you don't know why stuff is done the way it is.
Uh-huh.
And that probably made no sense, but, you know, because I feel like voice tracking is odd for people that have never been on the air because they start out voice tracking to a large degree, which I think is backwards. And I think it's a tough learning curve to learn that way versus going live and then trying to recreate what you do live recorded.
Right.
Which I'm probably not supposed to be talking about.
Well, yeah, you're talking about Fight Club here. You
know, right. It is not. Who was on last week?
It was Steve Kraske of KCUR and
Kansas
City Star.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
He's going to be so much more professional than I am this week.
Well, you know that you're in the fire here with the non-professionals, and that's how we go.
I'm sorry. I would have had way less beers if I would have known Kraske.
Well, geez, we would have had you in the studio if we knew you were having all them beers.
Yeah, sorry. Man, okay. But no, listen, thank you guys for having me on. What you basically said was true. A lot of the podcast stuff I wanted you guys to know because I love what you're doing. I respect the podcast. And I think here's the big thing. And I actually think I can tie this all in from the we used to cut tape and now it's all digital. I think you guys are in a really good spot for the future. you're taking advantage of, you know, what you know now and staying out in front of what audio and broadcasting is going to be a few years down the road. That was my problem. When I was in Manhattan or when I started seeing the digital stuff coming in, I wasn't ahead of it enough. I wasn't in it enough, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I still know how to cut a tape all real to real. I'll be good over here, right? And the smart guys were eating up all the time in the digital booth while I was still doing reel to reel so right. I could get down to Aggieville as fast as possible.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I love what you guys are doing. I'm glad you're doing it. And I know it can be a grind sometimes, but props to you guys and keep it up. And I think it will pay off for you if it hasn't already. I don't know. Maybe it has.
Well, one question I've got for you, because last week we talked with Steve and he does an AM talk show. And, you know, the preparation for doing an AM, you know, 1 hour talk show in comparison to being a radio personality on the FM side talking about radio is, you know, you prepare differently. So how do you, with 99.7, not specifically 99.7, but really sure. FM radio, there's not a huge, like, song catalog. You only have a couple songs for a couple months. So how do you stay fresh with playing the Coldplay song for the 11th time that week?
Right.
You know what I mean?
A, yes, I do. A, we don't play Coldplay. maybe we should. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But we don't play Coldplay. Here's the thing. Okay, I already said A, so I guess this would be like C.
Two.
C. Right, yeah. Yeah, four. Right. So I've only been full time at the station in the studio for the last week. My perspective is this. You can't out Pandora Pandora. So what my angle is going to be, and I say is going to be, maybe it hasn't been recently. Again, I'm new. The station is evolving now. So we don't know where we're going to sound like 3 months from now. But for me, it's about trying to be relevant and current and local to the moms and the people in the demo that are listening locally, right? So obviously the Royals are big right now. The Chiefs are big right now. And while the music we play targets females and families and minivan moms, I'm trying to put myself in that space. What is relevant to them? Halloween. How can I relate while keeping the music going? Right. Mm-hmm. So is there a lot of prep? No, it's not heavy lifting. And what Steve Kraske does is much harder and probably takes a lot more talent than what I do. The guy is, you know, a journalist. I'm not a journalist. Right. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's about try to go in there. Keep everything moving forward because we still want to keep that music rolling. And then when I do open the mic, try to take those opportunities to relate, whether it's on a local Kansas City level, whether it's relate on a demo. I have kids like you do, Halloween kind of sucks level or whatever it is. Right.
Yeah.
So I try to maximize what time I have with the audience. Now, with the way radio is these days, the staffs are a lot shorter, so I am doing imaging, I'm doing production, I'm trying to get in there and help with the promotions where I can. So while Steve's doing journalism, I would probably say I'm trying to be a part of a team that puts the best radio station on the air.
I like that. So let's talk about then some of this, the differences between how we were talking about podcasts earlier and now you're doing radio. I think one of the advantages the podcast world has is it's a lot easier to have some of that listener interaction, which is what I think part of the listeners are gravitating towards, is you can connect to the host more easily. You can spend more time on longer subjects. How do you battle some of that in the radio world?
Well, this is now you're putting me in a tough spot. Uh-huh. This is a hot seat.
All right.
Now look,
and the answer can be, I don't know. I mean,
because we've talked here's about the thing. That here. I at this think radio station. It's a different applications, right?
Right.
I've worked at a video production job for the last few years, right, between radio jobs.
Mm-hmm.
The application that the FM radio dial is providing you is a radically different application than podcasts are, right? I would say that we're not trying to compete with podcasts. Okay. We're trying to be the best FM station we can be.
That makes sense.
Right?
You're right.
So let me say, like this. McDonald's isn't necessarily competing with Hot Pockets, right? What am I, Jim Gaffigan?
Right, yeah.
It's two different applications.
I got you. Yeah, that makes sense. I like that.
Does it?
Yeah, no, it does.
You sure?
Yeah. So,
to both of you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
So we talk about Kansas City mostly. You've been here quite a while now, right? We knew each other back in Manhattan.
If you look on Facebook, and I think, Tim, you could probably find them. Please don't put them out there any more than they already are. But if you look on Facebook, there are pictures of me shirtless at Kauffman in the early 90s, back when GA was out in left and right field. It cost you $5 to get in. You could sit wherever you want. Dudes rocked it shirtless. I grew up in Salina, so in the middle of nowhere, Kansas, and even I grew up outside of Salina. I went to Colby for radio. I moved to Manhattan and did radio in Junction City, and then Manhattan. I moved for radio to Phoenix, to Boise, to Lincoln, to Knoxville, and then back to Kansas City about 10 years ago for a radio job. I was here. We were doing our thing. Ownership, GM changes, all that, flipped the phone a little bit. I'm out. I decided at that point when they fired me over the phone on Christmas vacation that my wife was pregnant at the time, so I decided, let's just go ahead and stay here. I stay here. I knock out my degree at a couple local schools and started freelancing, doing voice work, and I really have a hard time seeing myself leaving Kansas City. Right now, Kansas City is certainly on an upswing. Everybody's loving Kansas City, not just because of the World Series, but it's a very artsy thing, right? We have Silicon Prairie working for us. The Google Fiber thing was just epic from where I'm coming from for this city. So it's been a great decade. As a native Kansan, right, growing up in small town Kansas, I always loved Kansas City, and so I think my affinity for it is kind of inbred.
Ingrained, maybe. I think maybe.
Right. Or
no.
I like it.
It's Kansas. But here's the thing. So we would come to Kansas City. Obviously, I grew up a Royals fan. That whole deal, but. In Kansas City, certainly over the last decade that I've been here or less, has been on a renaissance. And right now, I don't know where else I'd rather be. That's a great place
I like that. With 99.7 The Point specifically, you mentioned it being kind of geared towards females and, as you call them, minivan moms, which you probably don't say that on air. But how do you, being a male coming up in that section, that demographic there, do you watch E! And Bravo when you're at home at night? Do you enlist the help of your wife? How do you connect?
Look, I have a wife,
right?
And she and I are both in that demo. We have three kids under seven, so I'm right there in that demo.
Okay.
My family, we are living the lifestyle that the audience that we're shooting for is living. Now, the one edge I have over every female that's actually in the demo is that I've been doing radio for 20 years.
Right.
Does that mean that I can relate better? Not necessarily. Does that mean I can talk over a 7-second Jason Derulo and fit in all the stuff that you need to fit in? That maybe the audience and the sponsors and the advertisers and the management expects? Probably, right? So that's where my 10,000 hours are. And this is why this is a great fit for me. Listen, guys, I have I worked on a lot of stations all over the country. When I was in Knoxville, this was in like 2001, I moved to Knoxville and was on a radio station, the first radio station to play rap music in Knoxville, Tennessee, in 2001.
Ooh, wow.
Now, yeah. Right, way behind the times. As an old white dude playing rap music in Knoxville, that's not a fit.
Right.
Me talking over Adele ramps to women, 35, that's my wheelhouse,
right.
Guys.
Yep, that's your bread
you
and
know,
butter.
You know, trust me, if I can talk to... If I know ladies, it's ladies on the downslide. You know what I mean? Like, if I can talk to ladies... It's ladies in my demo.
It's ladies rolling up to the farmer's market and
Look, and that's how we live. My wife does yoga. She teaches yoga during the week. Again, we have three kids. I'm going to PTA meetings. And really, at the end of the day, it's about being able to, relate, inform, and condense that all so that you can keep the music going, too. Mm. Right? It's not like I'm on The View.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to fill that much time up because the music keeps it going.
Right.
What would you say, though, in your time, specifically here in Kansas City, the radio, I guess, scene, you could say, how has that changed, though? Because you have mentioned that podcasting now is, you know, becoming more and more popular. So how, and you also mentioned how staffing has kind of downsized.
Majorly downsized.
How has responsibilities, how has the workforce and the workflow changed in your eyes in FM radio?
Now, when you say over my time in Kansas City, that's only the last 8 years or so. So relative to how much I saw it change the 12 years before that, it has been minimal, right?
Okay.
So because you got to understand, my first job, I was in a building with one FM and one AM. And they each had to have somebody there 24 hours a day.
Right.
So I've seen it change so much more over the last decade. The thing I wish radio, and I think we are finally, and I say we now as an industry, and I'm seeing it more and more, I think radio is coming around to the podcasting. I think radio is finally embracing some of that stuff. I wish it wouldn't have been so slow to do that. Mm-hmm. Some stations are better than others. I think sports, obviously, it lends itself really well to sports.
Yeah.
I know some of the AM stations here in town do the podcast stuff. So I wouldn't say I've seen radical changes over the last few years in Kansas City. Most of the changes I've seen have been way before that. I hope, because radio's been content creators leading the content creation for years. And I feel like all of a sudden at some point in reaction to the internet, they slowed way back, pumped the brakes on that. They already had the audience. They were used to creating content. For some reason, I feel like we pumped the brakes too much. And I hope we take advantage and jump forward and take that leap because, you know, I don't know, man. I think there's a lot of opportunity there. But the thing is, there's enough to go around. Guys,
true.
You know, podcasts don't have to kill radio. Radio doesn't have to kill podcasting.
No, we're coming for you.
Yeah. Right?
<Don't worry. laughs>
I mean, that's the thing. Look, there's an article, and you guys should Google this. Maybe you already know about it. There's an article, and I can't remember who wrote it or where it was originally, but it's called 1,000 True Fans. If a podcast can get 1,000 true fans, there's really something there. Right. So what if you can get 1,000 true fans and then you start selling them something or giving them something extra for $10 a month?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, that's $10,000 a month. How much do you need? Right. So that's the thing with podcasting. And that's where I still think podcasting is at a weird spot because podcasting is tough because if you're going to go local, it's hard to carve out a massive audience locally and unless you really niche out because you're still competing against everybody else.
Right.
So podcasting for me is still, it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Yeah. I think the struggle is exactly that. So we do a myriad of podcasts and we found that is we can get a great response globally. Very hard to monetize because it's a few over here. But when you go really local, well, it's hard to build that.
Because you're competing with the big dogs.
Because, people look for a niche program when they go to podcasting, which is hard to do locally, unless, which is what we're trying to do here is get people that are very, Kansas City enthusiasts, as it were. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah. I love, so how big does your audience have to be if you're just serving Kansas City to compete with the local advertising?
Exactly right. And that's the struggle there is the advertising. So with radio, I brought that up here at the stations I work for, is that, look, all the difference in podcast and radio, all it is still you're being a content provider.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't that? I found it weird that radio wouldn't embrace podcasting. It's just another avenue to present more content. You already have the advertising network built up.
And you already have the audience.
Right. Yeah.
Like, they're leaving the station. Let's not act like when people turn off your radio station, they're not consuming other media. They are.
Right.
So I wonder, and I haven't really dug into this enough, I wonder the stations that are doing podcasts, how well, you know, I know the sports stations do it, you know, and I wonder how they're treating it. Mm-hmm. And I think to a large degree, just like when the web came, radio stations were only putting websites up because corporate made them.
Right.
You know, and then all of a sudden websites are blowing up and now it's this thing like now we're catching up. Mm-hmm. Let's try to lead, you know, and if you go back to, trust me, guys, I'm old, but before my time, radio was a leader, right? Yeah. And radio invented Top 40, right? And radio invented a lot of stuff. The TV ripped off contesting, right? Mm-hmm. Some of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just feel like we're coming from behind here, and I wish we weren't. You know, and it's hard to fathom. Here's the other thing. Look, honestly, it's hard to wrap your head around where technology is going to be 8 years from now. Mm-hmm. Where was it 8 years ago? Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, how many people did you know had an internet accessible cell phone?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. A smartphone was very brand new at that time. Definitely.
So what's it going to look like? Right. So listen, and it was the early 2000s, I got fired from a radio station in Lincoln, Nebraska, and we started an internet radio station and a podcast. Well, at that time, nobody had anything outside of dial-up. Mm-hmm. Maybe some college campuses had some high-speed internet, but nobody did. So, you know, I mean, we were out in front of it probably too early for our own good.
Too ahead of your time. That's what we think
about
ourselves here, too.
Everybody has high speed on their phone.
Right.
And compression rates are better. So, yeah. I don't know, man. You know, I think that there's always going to be a need for content creation. And that's where I think you guys are in a good spot.
Well, and one thing with the podcasting, though, that I find interesting, because you said how it's in a, you know, weird spot, is because now it's almost so easy to do. You know what I mean? If you go to any
Podbean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You can put up any
type of...
You can
literally do it with your phone.
Right. You can do any type of content you want. So now it's almost so easily accessible that everyone thinks they can do it.
And you tell somebody you have a podcast, they go, yeah, no duh.
Right. where when you say you're on the radio, that still has some clout. That still has some, oh, wow. You know what I mean? Like, it still has that pizzazz to it, I guess. And so that's where I think it'd be interesting for the radio stations, how you'd mentioned, to get ahead of that curve on the podcasting, because they already have the professionalism, the clout,
name recognition,
and the advertisers, to where they could almost take over another type of content. You know what I mean?
So yes, I'm with you. You're preaching to the choir. Amen. I think that's the thing. And finally, the Kansas City Star, finally. And you guys might go back and double check the facts on this, but I think in the last month they started a Royals podcast. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is the holdup there?
Right.
Where have you guys been? I mean, are you really trying to push pulp? Are you guys really trying to push dead trees that hard that you have finally put on a podcast?
Right.
Because but again, look, you guys have an up because of the radio, and you know how to keep moving forward, and there is a lot that we can get, and because a bad podcast is horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, that's...
Wait, what are you saying here?
Well, listen. Right.
You're right.
But,
he said, come on, guys, we're not kidding anybody here.
But what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, on down the road, I don't even know what I was saying, but here's the thing. It's one of those things like, look, I do voice work, right? And I'm not a great voice work guy. Years ago, it was hard to get voice work because you had to have a bunch of expensive equipment. Nowadays, anybody can do voice work. So it's a double-edged sword from the fact that anybody can offer up voice work on Fiverr now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So anybody can also take that shot on some level. Look, I'm glad that everybody has the opportunity. You know, let's level the playing field. And that's why I think when you go into a podcast, and that's why I'm hesitant. Trust me, I want to run 7, 8, 10 podcasts. Mm-hmm. I really do. But you really got to, you know, think about your audience and think about where you're going with it.
Oh, absolutely. So you mentioned that voiceover work. You also... you do video production, some imaging. You're also award-winning in your imaging. Am I correct on that?
I am.
Yeah.
There's a worldwide Worldwide Radio Summit every year. It's a big radio conference. One of the sponsors are called Benstown. They do a bunch of syndication services for radio, and this is super nerd radio stuff. But they did a competition, a lot like Iron Chef, where they give you some parameters, you do some production, and then the final two went to this conference. And I went head-to-head with Dan Kelly from Z100, at the thing. They go, here you go, you got half an hour, we're going to give you a jump drive with a bunch of parts, sound effects, whiz, bangs, voice work. Whoever can produce the best piece of production in the next half an hour wins the belt and blah, blah, blah.
Pretty quick, too, yeah.
So it was all an Iron Chef competition. Do I think I'm the number two that year? I was the number two imaging guy. There's no way. Chris Moneymaker, the best poker player ever? No. Did he get probably pretty lucky when he won that World Series bracelet? Yes. So it was nice to have some recognition. It was nice to, so if you're counting the Benstown Iron Imager, I was the number two imaging guy in the world in 2014. The guy that got second place the year before was from Ireland. The guy that's won it 3 years in a row is at, I think, Z100 in New York, which is clearly top notch.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, you can't really, it's subjective, right, on so many levels.
Well, one thing that I wanted to ask you is, you know, you've been in the radio world now for so many years that you had mentioned. What's the aspect that keeps you going? Because you've said, you know, you got let go from a place, then you moved to Phoenix, then you moved to here. So obviously you have a passion for it. So what is it about this industry that keeps you going, that you find that passion that you like doing?
The easiest way to put it is, this is where my resume is, right? This is where my 10,000 hours are. If you're familiar with Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers, it's all about 10,000 hours.
Right.
So on some level, I'm old enough, I don't have a lot of other options. Number two would probably be I'm lazy. So it's super easy work, right?
Okay,
There's no doubt that how fun is it to go in there, you talk over a couple records, everybody loves you. Oh, cool, you're on the radio. Okay, and when I say everybody, I don't mean everybody. I mean the people that listen to your station like you. So
built-in fan base, as it were.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm passionate about it. Certainly, I've spent a lot of time trying to improve. I've spent a lot of time thinking about it. But to a large degree, this is where my 10,000 hours are. I'm honored to still have a job now. I truly am, because so many people could have this or would want this job, right? And I'm certain that the people I were up against, what have I done with the beers? The people that I was up against for this job were certainly very talented. So it's an honor to have it. You know, what keeps me going? Again, the fact that it's easy, the fact that that's what I know, you know. I certainly like the creative aspect of it, right? I mean, I can't deny that as much as I talk about, ooh, you talk over a Taylor Swift intro, it's not easy to fit all the stuff you have to in 9 seconds, right?
True.
You got to ID the station. You have to talk about whatever you're promoting. You have to do that in a unique way every other time, right? So, yeah, we play Taylor Swift a lot. Taylor Swift is popular. So how am I going to talk about Taylor Swift this time different than I am the next two times I'm going to do it? So I appreciate that. I appreciate the turning on the mic. And if you blow it this time, you suck. And everybody heard you suck.
Right. Hundreds of thousands of people heard you suck.
Right.
Right.
If you blow it, right? So without a doubt, there's, to me, I find there's some adrenaline rush. There's an amazing aspect of, look, I've been doing a video job for the past few years in a corporate situation where I make a video, then 5 people have to see it, and then I go make changes, and then 15 people have to see it, and everybody gets input. I go to the radio station, I write what I'm going to say, I turn on the mic, I say it to this audience, and then I get instant feedback. So I love that instant connection aspect on a big level, that I think is rare in a lot of places.
And you get invited onto cool podcasts like this one.
Every once in a while, you get a bonus like this.
Right, you know, you get one of those career achievements.
No, listen, I love talking to you guys. I'm sure I'm going way too long. I'm sure I'm...
It's a podcast. We got the time.
...bloviating. and so feel free to edit out as much as Christmas last year was amazing.
Yeah, yeah, that no, part we that might cut out. Well, then let's plug everything. So it's 99.7 The Point, 2 to 8 uh-huh. during every weekday, yeah?
Every afternoon. Again, it's about the music. I think the music's really good right now. We have a lot of fun. We give away some stuff. I mean, you know, I think for me, again, I talked about working on a station in Knoxville where the music was not a good fit for me or the city. Back when I was in Lincoln, Nebraska, probably in Manhattan, Kansas, too, I was a much younger, rowdier version of myself. I love the fact that I can go on. My wife and the kids can listen in the minivan.
Right.
We just keep it moving. We just keep it light. And I'm just trying to have fun. If you would listen, I would appreciate it. It helps feed my family. If you want my kids to starve, yeah. Listen to Mix.
Right.
That's your option.
Yeah. There you go.
If you hate me and my kids, go ahead. If you don't care if I get fired again, if you want me to cry next time I'm on the podcast, listen to The Vibe.
Right.
That's your call.
It's completely up to you.
It is. Look, again, when I talk about applications, it's great to be able to get in. I have a look. We're in Johnson County. Everything's a 15-minute drive.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to turn on a podcast? What am I going to listen to? And what episode do I want? And how, you know what I mean? Who's this Brady guy? I don't know this. So, you know, it's a good application. I get in my van. I turn it on. We ride. I sing Jason Derulo. I jam to Taylor Swift. And yes, I know all the songs and I like 95% of them.
Yes.
Yeah, you can admit it.
That's okay. Yeah,
you can be open about
dude,
that.
All day. You tell me you don't love Taylor Swift.
Right?
Fooling yourself.
Hey, Tom has been open about that for a while.
Yeah. Yes. I'm a huge, I think, what are they called? Like Swifties?
You're a Swiftie.
I'm a Swiftie. Yeah, I'm a Swiftie. 100%.
Dude,
yeah.
You do not let anybody hate on Taylor Swift.
Never.
I told somebody when she was in town, I'm like, this is bigger than... And I probably went too overboard here, but this is like Madonna.
Oh, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
An icon.
Yeah.
And people want to hate on Taylor Swift. She's
the
solid.
Business right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
She's good.
And I'm really bad at the guitar because I'm trying to play her songs because I have a 7-year-old daughter that likes to sing them. And even her songs on the guitar. Try to write me one.
There you go.
Let me hear it. Right. But no. I think, look, it's a fun mom station. Listen, in the afternoon, I certainly could use you, right?
Yeah,
and you're not going to get any of this.
Yeah, your kids have to eat.
You're hearing now.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, thanks, Brady. We appreciate you. We want everybody to listen to you so your kids can eat and go to college because we want things
right?
for them.
Don't expect college, guys. Let's come on.
Get up through high school.
here's the other thing. Listen, let me talk real quick about this.
I do
a podcast. I don't talk about it a lot.
That's right, yeah.
Essentially, what we do is we talk about daily fantasy, FanDuels and your DraftKings.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple buddies. They're not in radio. We sit down. We open a 12-pack. When the 12-pack is over, we stop recording.
Or you
very
pause
professional,
and go
as
get
you
another,
can tell.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what we're shooting for, but it's called Fantasy Wise Guys. You can find us online, fantasywiseguys.com. It's a lot of fun. If you're into football, if you're into podcasts, if you're into DFS, which is the daily fantasy sports,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure your audience is obviously into podcasts. Maybe check that out.
Definitely. Yeah, by all means.
We have a lot of fun. I don't know, man.
Is it just football?
Like, look, this is what I'm saying about podcasts, guys. I'm not going to be able to out ESPN ESPN.
Right.
Can I get, you know, a 1,000 true fans,
mm-hmm.
you know, that jive with what we're saying? Can we get lucky on a few, you know, picks here and there? Can we actually have some information combined with some entertainment that hits home to just enough people? To make it worth doing, because we have to pay for a 12-pack every week.
Right. Every week, and that's a lot.
That is.
You know?
Depending on what beer you're drinking.
Right.
Is it just football, or do you go like full year, so when it's basketball season, you're going to basketball, or are you just sticking to the football?
Well, it depends. right? We're moving on. NBA starts here pretty soon, so we're going to move on to basketball. I don't play NBA. We were talking baseball. We had the guy, and you guys should talk to. Here's two guys you should talk to. You should talk to Max from Royals Review. He'd be a good one right now. And you should talk to Joel from Arrowhead Pride. They're both SB Nation connected blogs. Those guys are great interviews. We had them on our first episode. We had Max recently as the Royals move on. I think that, I don't know, man. We're going to, for me, the thing is, I don't want to be DFS heavy, because if you find my podcast, you know, 3 months from now, I don't want all the content to be dated.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we like to talk about mostly just stupid gambling stuff, right? And DFS is kind of a big one, and we're using it as a opportunity to talk to DFS experts, mm-hmm. the pros, the guys that know what they're doing. So we're going for more general strategy versus, are you taking Martavius Bryant this week? No, we're trying to talk like, what are we doing with our bankrolls? What percentage are we spending on our quarterbacks? Some of the more strategy stuff.
Interesting.
So,
like
and
that.
We do, but because I'm talking to your audience, we do go super homer on the Royals, and that's kind of why we suck at it, because we stack Royals every week in baseball.
Right. Well, but you know, do that.
I mean, how can you not, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, so. They're hot right now. That's fun. Well, sweet. Well, thanks, man. We appreciate you coming on. We want everybody to listen. 99.7 The Point. Check out fantasywiseguys.com. Anything else? You want people to check out your Facebook,
guys,
Twitter stuff?
Listen. I'm on Facebook. I just started a Facebook page for the radio station. Find me through the radio station. I want to say to you guys, thanks for having me on. It was an honor, and I'm sorry that you're going to have to edit the crap out of this. So I apologize, but it really was.
We'll put markers in there so people can tell.
It was awesome. I hope this is an enjoyable episode, and how good was Kraskies? I'm going to go listen to it right now.
Yeah.
Or should I
check
not?
It out.
No, it was a good one. It was
Should I not?
No, definitely. Give it a shot and share it. We need some.
Should I not?
We're trying to find that 1,000 listeners as well. So.
Yeah, we're looking for the first 10 true fans.
I'll share it, but I don't know that my ego can take listening to it.
Right? Well,
because I'm
different.
A big fan of his.
It's different, like you said. Yeah, no, we're totally big fans over here, and he was a instructor of mine here at UMKC too. So yeah, I feel like I learned a good lot from him, and I feel like we learned a lot here too.
Yeah, this was a really good
veteran
one.
Of the radio industry here, though. This was stuff I didn't think about. We got deep in the podcast versus radio.
Yes,
deep in the weeds, guys. It really was an honor, and I'm not kidding when I say keep doing what you're doing. You'll be fine. Get those 10,000 hours in content creation. You guys obviously are a couple smart cats with good personalities. Just keep grinding it out. And it'll hit for you, man. I really think that it will.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks, Brady. Another interview.
Another good informational topic.
And he was right. We're on the cusp of greatness. You know, we're just mm-hmm. destined for, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you're saying it kind of jokingly.
And,
no, we are.
And that's, you know, just like Kansas City, us. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Brady Goodman, check him out. 99.7 The Point. Middays, is it? Where is that? Middays? 2 to 8 is a little not middays. It's kind of
afternoons.
Yes, afternoons. Mm-hmm. It's afternoons.
Your drive home.
Right.
Yeah.
Evening drive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's good.
Get through the commute of rush hour.
Right. Yeah.
Because rush hour starts around 3.
Rush hour, yeah. Mine is all about 10 minutes. I literally don't even live a full block away from my
From my job. I live 4 minutes away.
Right. Yeah.
I leave my house 5 minutes before I have to be at work.
If I didn't have to like walk through neighbors' yards and over a hill through a business,
mm-hmm.
It would be quicker to probably walk than it would to drive.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, Brady Goodman, check him out. We're going to come back, and Tom's going to fill you in on the happenings around the metro area this week.
There's one pretty big one.
Yeah, there's a pretty big one. Got a couple of times this week.
Yep.
But that's when we return to the Tim and Tom Show right here on the Trending Topics Network. City through local news, topics, and conversations. It's the Tim and Tom Show. We are connecting you to Kansas City, and the way we do it in this segment is we have Tom.
Yes.
Tell you about what's coming up this week around the metro area. Tom.
Hey, that's me.
What's happening?
Well, little game is going to be.
Really cheesy. Yeah.
Hey,
I'm Tom.
I'm Tom. Let me tell you about this week's events. First, we've got. No. Yeah. Well, we've got a little game going to be played here.
It's a little game of
World Series.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like the shuffleboard.
No, this isn't as big.
The World Series of Poker.
Right. No. The World Series.
Of the world.
Of the world. Of baseball.
Of baseball.
Game one. Even. Game one of the World Series will start Tuesday night.
Tuesday night. We're going to be here in the studio recording.
At Kauffman.
Yep.
Game two will be Wednesday night, so if you can't go to game one, go to game two.
Go to game two.
And
then hopefully you don't need to, hopefully you won't have the opportunity to go to game six or seven coming up later. But.
Right, because then we'll just sweep them.
So, yeah, you're here. If you want to see a World Series game.
Go to game one or two.
Yeah, don't take the chance of it not being available.
Right.
You got to go to game one or two.
Yeah, so if you're going to game two and you're not going to game one, also Tuesday night at the Sprint Center, we've got one of the most legendary female artists of all time.
Uh-huh.
Playing in the background right
now. Yeah.
Janet Jackson will be at the Sprint Center.
Right.
And, man, I tell you what, you want a show. You want an artist.
That's an amazing show.
If you want an artist who was really the first one, as far as a solo act, to be like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dance. I'm going to sing. I'm going to do theatrics. I'm going to put on a
show.
I'm
going to throw some fire in the background.
You're going to get everything, you know? Going to get everything.
Flashing lights, dancers. Fire. Mm-hmm. It's going to be everything.
You're going to hear some of these classics like you hear in the background. And she's got a new CD, so you're probably going to hear some new hits as well. But that will be Tuesday night at the Sprint Center.
You know how I know you're old?
How?
You called it a CD.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is.
What do they call it? It's not an album.
It's just, I think it is an album.
But it's not.
Well, I know, but I think it is,
So what do you call
it? I think even when they were CDs, you could still call it an album.
So album.
It's still a collection of songs. It's still album is the term, I
think.
Okay,
so she has a new album out.
New album out, yeah.
All right.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That's funny.
She has a new cassette out.
A new 8-track. Yeah. Just pop it in.
Yep.
And then turn it over to the B-side.
All right. Jamie Jackson, though, you should go check that out.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to game one, which, I mean, I think that's where everyone's eyes are going to be.
Yeah.
But if you're into the music scene, Janet Jackson, you can't go wrong with that.
You can DVR the game. Can't DVR the Janet Jackson concert.
Nope, you cannot.
Nope.
It will not be played on closed circuit or on the television.
Closed circuit. Man, know how I know you're old.
All right. Well, also, we've got October 30th at the Midland, Buzz Halloweeny Roast.
Oh, this is a fun
time. And this is a great
time.
One. This is where, full disclosure, this is where my music taste leans towards. I'm the more alternative.
Yep.
You got Andrew McMahon, who's amazing. The New Politics and the Griswolds. All three are very, very good. Andrew McMahon is just... Right, this is so good. His music, like a fine wine.
Right.
You know, you drink it. And,
yeah.
Like his music is so good. And for those with the enhanced radio, like you want to put your hands together and just like cheer
do
this
that
man.
Old timing,
You want to throw like some roses at him. You know, at his feet.
Right.
Like, you are so good. You know.
For he's a jolly good fellow.
Yes, exactly. Right. Hip hip, you know.
Yeah.
He's that good.
Know how I know you're old. All right.
I like the theme of this of this segment.
Yeah, you want to give your friend a slug bug? All right.
So again, that will be October 30th at the Midland Theater. Andrew McMahon, New Politics, and the Griswolds. Now, if you're into a little bit more aggressive music, the next night, again at the Midland, will be Freakers Ball 2015.
Yeah.
Now, here's the artist for this.
Uh-huh.
We got Pop Evil.
Right.
I don't know if you say it that way, but I feel like that's how you could.
Yeah,
Pop Evil. All That Remains.
All That Remains.
Red Sun Rising.
Ooh, all right.
And We Came as Romans.
Ah.
Very aggressive. Just,
even the naming is a little more intense.
It's like.
You know you're not going to go back and snap to the beat with that music.
Right,
you know
exactly, So if you want...
There'll be no roast throwing.
Right, yeah. If you want, you can go to the Buzz Halloweeny Roast, have a great time, chill out, meet some cool people, and then if you want to get your juices flowing, you want to be in a mosh pit, you want to headbang...
Slam!
You want to... Yeah. Do the devil horns with your hands.
Yeah.
You want to just stick your tongue out and look at
there's
weird
fun to be had by doing that.
Yeah. You put some fun contacts in your eyes. Just, rah! I don't know if they
just
do that.
Just rage. If you need to get out some aggression.
Yeah, you know, because, hey, it's at the end of the work week. Might as well, you know. There you go. Now, if you want to go with the family, because we always try to go full spectrum here.
Right, exactly.
You know, because
obviously
we've got people that are family members as far as fathers and mothers.
Yep, right.
And then we also got single people. So we try to mingle it all in.
Right.
But for the family event, Friday, October 30th at Legoland, we have Brick or Treat.
Brick or Treat?
Yes.
Because it's Legos.
Aha, I get it.
See what you did there?
See what you did? Yeah. So you get a lot of really cool stuff there. You get to dress up as your favorite character, go amongst the Lego land, get some fun trick or treats, which no one ever does. When you knock on the door and you say trick or treat, they never trick you.
Yeah, there's never a trick involved.
Maybe they should start doing that.
Maybe that's the trick.
Is what the treat is?
No, it's that there is no tricks. Wrap your brain around that. You're waiting for trick this whole time. Ha ha! Tricked you.
Man.
Huh? That's some next level.
That's like, what was that Leonardo DiCaprio movie?
Inception.
Yeah, you just inceptioned Halloween.
Just inceptionalized.
All right. And it's Halloween, so it really could be all about that, man. Like, whoa.
Okay. Well, that's
good. That's the show. That's the events.
Hey, check out any of those events. And if you go to them, hit us up at Tim and Tom KC. We might be out at one of them. Never know.
Yeah.
Send us some pics.
Game one of the World Series. Hey, look, I'll tell you, full disclosure, game six, I didn't plan that I was going to go that morning. Showed up that night, you know?
Showed that night.
So you might see us.
But yeah, check us out on the Twitter. Check us out on Facebook, Tim and Tom KC.
Mm-hmm.
And email us, timandtomkc@gmail.com, if you have any questions or just want to talk.
Yeah. And go Royals.
And go Royals. We'll
World
be back.
World Series.
We'll be back next week to talk about the Royals and then the rest of the happenings around Kansas City when we return next week to the Tim and Tom Show right here on the Trending Topics Network.